We continue the shiur on Rabbi Nizal, the Sichas Horan, Sif Kuf Memtes, paragraph 149, which deals with the story of the Zion Betlers, the 13th story in the Sipuri Maisis, stories told by Rabbi Nizal. 13th story called the Zion Betlers is the greatest of all the stories. Rabbi Nizal himself stated that if his only accomplishment was this one story, he would still have reached the pinnacle, the greatest height possible for a tzaddik, because this story contains all the siddes, all the heavenly secrets from creation on through till the coming of Moshiach and Asid Lovai. We, of course, can only repeat the story, tell it as Rabbi Nizal told it. We can try to glean a bit of the secrets involved to decode some of the words of the story, since we have Rabbi Nizal to guide us just a little. But even that little, too, is infinitely precious for our neshamas to absorb the story, and then they hope that the Asid Lovai in the future, in Gan Eden, or after Mashiach's coming, we'll understand much more about the story. We started the story in the last shiur, a very brief synopsis to get us up to date. Very briefly, Rabbi Nizal started the story about a king who handed over the kingdom to his son, to the prince, and warned the prince that he's going to have a yerida, he's going to drop, he's going to fall from his status, but that the warning is he should never, ever be be'atzmus, never be depressed. If he'll be besimcha, and he'll succeed, he'll come back very easily. If he'll find himself depressed, then he will fail, chas v'shalom. So this was the beginning of the story, which told about how this prince fell from his faith, Ramuna, because he went to study the depth, the wisdom of philosophy, which is completely contrary to Emunah, to faith. So he fell from his faith, he suffered because of this, and right there this story is suspended. At that point the story is suspended, temporarily so-called, although we don't find the end to that story. Ben Ezra himself said the end of that part of the story, combined with the rest of the story, the Zion Betlers, will be told when Moshiach comes, which means very, very shortly. At that point, Rabbi Nizal begins the second portion of the story, dealing with two children who were lost in the forest. These two children joined a group of beggars. The word is Betlers. The Yiddish word for beggar is Betler. Rabbi Nizal calls them Betlers because they were beggars in the sense that they begged from Hashem. Tzaddikim beg of Hashem through tefillah. Now the Zion Betlers are the seven Betlers who came one after the other in succession. They were never two at a time. One came after the other, these two children who were lost in the forest. They gave them food, and they gave them each a bracha, a blessing that the children should be like themselves. Each one of these Zion Betlers was unusual physically. First one was blind. The second one was deaf. Third one had a throat that was out of line. The fourth one was a hunchback, the fifth and sixth and seventh also were maimed. One had no hands, and the other had no feet, was a cripple, and so forth. In other words, every part of the body, there was something seemingly wrong with it. Now, despite this, the seven Betlers appeared as unusual in that they were able to get along very well despite the handicaps. Now, later on, these two children came out of the forest, they were saved, and years later there was a shidduch made between the two of them. They joined the group of beggars, and in this feast, the wedding feast, the Chosam and Kala reminded themselves about those seven betlas. They began to cry, to crave, to yearn, to see those seven betlas again. This craving and yearning and crying is what arouses the kindness in heaven, where the yearning, the kisufim, is answered. So we have the story of the first betler who came to, who appeared suddenly at the wedding feast and said to the Chosam and Kala, "I am a blind betler, but I am blind in the sense that I do not see anything that goes on around me in this world. I do not bother to look at Elam Hazza, this world, because nothing here is worth looking at. So the entire world passes before me like the blink of an eye. Actually, my eyesight is the best of all, because I see only that which is good, that which is pure spiritually. But more important," he said, "I am very old, and yet I am a very young child. I haven't even begun to live yet, despite the fact that I am very old." Now, this statement, that I am very old and yet very young, is not my own statement alone. I have the confirmation about this from the great eagle, that I am that old and yet young. And I'll tell you a story about this. Now, this is the part we were up to. The story that this blind betler told, in which he will enlighten us about his greatness. Again, we must remind you that these Zion betlers were seven of the seven, that is actually one. The secret is that it was one betler who possessed all these traits, all these powers. But these seven qualities, this is speaking about the Tzaddik Emes, who possesses unusual powers. Each one of these powers will be described here. This is the first betler speaking about what hidden power he has. In telling this story, he gives us the reveals part of the secret. This is a story the blind betler told. One time, there were a group of people traveling in small boats on the sea. A very severe storm came up and smashed these boats. Actually smashed them, destroyed them completely. The people were rescued. Somehow they were saved. They came to an island with a tower on it, a fortress. They went up into this fortress, and there they found tables set with best food, drink, and clothing for themselves, and everything they needed. Every type of luxury that could be imagined. So they sat, relaxed, and began to have a discussion among themselves. And they decided each one should tell a very old story, not just a plain old story, meaning that which he recalls, the furthest back that he could recall. The idea was, let us see who could recall to his earliest youth. The average person can recall something which happened when he was 4 years old, 3 years old, perhaps 2 years old. They wanted to test the memories of these people to see how far back they could remember. What is the first thing you recall in your lifetime? It was only fitting that they should honor, give cover to the eldest one there. The eldest one among them, and of course the word Zokain, elderly person, Zokain means a Chacham. Zokain is Zekana Chachma, the eldest, considering him to be the wisest. They invited him to speak first, to tell his story first. His reply was, "What shall I tell you? I recall even as they cut the apple from the branch." No one there among the regular audience understood what he said. The wise men all said, they gasped and said, "That is certainly a very old story to recall." recall when the apple was cut from the branch? It's an unusually old story. So, we'll soon have the interpretation. Although you can tell yourself, you can understand yourself, what is meant by these statements. Then they offered the second one, the second eldest person, to speak, the opportunity to tell his story. And this second one spoke up. He was not as old as the first. And he said, "You call this an old story? This story I recall also, but I also recall even when the candle was burning." And they all said, "This surely is an older story than the first." Now they marveled at the fact that the second one, who was younger than the first, could recall a story that was older, that went further back. Of course, as we'll see later on, this refers to their own life, their birth. Going back to the time of their birth, the second one recalled an incident that occurred before the first one. When he spoke about cutting the apple from the branch, he meant cutting the umbilical cord. He recalled the very moment that he was born, the moment that he came forth into life, as he appeared into this world. From that moment on, he recalled. He could recall that far back. Second one said, "I recall even further back. I recall when the candle was burning," because the Gemara says that every child during the 9 months of pregnancy has a malach, an angel that teaches him Torah, and there is a candle burning above his head. Of course, this is a spiritual candle. A woman can't walk around with a fire candle burning. This spiritual candle burning above his head, the spiritual light, in which the child can see. The light is so bright that the child can actually see from one end of the world to the other. You aren't either. And during that time, the child's wisdom, this refers to his wisdom, the light means the wisdom, he can see more than any human being. He is taught the entire Torah. The moment he is born, though, the moment he comes out, the moment he emerges into this world, that same malach strikes him above the lip. He forgets everything. But before he does that, he is warned. He is made to swear. Everything you've learned now, you're going to forget. But it's your duty, it's your mission in life, to bring all that back and to carry out every single mitzvah you learned. Now here we see that the second Zakein, the younger one, recalled further back, because the first one recalled from the moment of birth, the second recalled even before birth, during pregnancy. What is meant by being younger and recalling further back? In one statement, Nussensall explains that young birth means a person who converts is considered being born the day of his conversion. He is a newly born person. There is no reckoning with his past. From that day on, he is born anew as a Jew. The same thing applies to a Baal Tshuva, a person who committed sins, who did wrong, who strayed, who wandered away from the mitzvahs of the Torah, who actually rebelled against Hashem's commands. He is a sinner. He is a pesheya, he is a meideid, he is a rebel. But if he does tshuva, if he does tshuva with sincerity, his sins are erased, his past is gone, he is a newly born person. He is starting life anew as a pure Jew. That means that he is now born anew. Therefore, the first one, the first Zakein, recalled up to a point back. The second one recalled that your point of tshuva, he said, I did tshuva above that. My tshuva went still further back. I covered your tshuva plus. What you did tshuva on, and you reached a new plateau, your new plateau to me was considered a yerida, a drop. I did tshuva on that one. I reached still further back. I was born anew after that. This was the second one. Then they called upon the third one, who was still younger. He said, I recall even as the fruit began to take form, as the fruit was taking shape, that's what I recall, which means the moment of conception, when the child, the infant, begins to form, that's what I recall. The very moment of conception, which goes still further back. So they said, they all testified to the fact that surely is an older story. Let us hear what the next one says. Now, there were 8 cicadim there. 8, each one younger than the other. And they spoke in turn according to age. And each one recalled further back than the other. The fourth one, who was still younger, spoke up and said, I recall, even before the formation of the fruit, before the fruit came into existence, I recall when they were first bringing the seed to plant in order to grow this fruit, which means even before conception, the seed is first brought to the woman, and from this seed, and then there is conceived and formed a child. Nosenzel says, note that these first four deal with a child in connection with the mother, the woman. The next four are an entirely different category. Therefore, the Nosenzel says that the secret, the seed of this part of the story deals with the secret of the mitzvah of tefillin. Tefillin comes in two parts. There is tefillin shel reish, tefillin of the head, tefillin shel yad, tefillin of the arm. What is the difference between these two parts, and why two parts? Said is that everything in existence, from heaven down to earth, everything, as Zohar Kodesh says, was created male and female. Everything. Kaviyocha. We can use that term even in heaven. We say always L'shem Yichud Kutshebrichu Ushkente. Kaviyocha Yichud. Combining of Hashem and the Shekhinah, the king and the queen, Shabbos Malkuso, the Shabbos queen, Hashem Melech. Throughout everything that was created, there is always the male and female part, and it's always the ultimate is to combine the two. Just as a child is born, a male child is born, a female child is born, there is the mitzvah, the first mitzvah of the Torah, the mating of the two, that will perpetuate the race. That is the very first one of the 613 mitzvahs. That is the goal. Person is not complete until he is mated, until he's married. So too in every mitzvah also, there is male and female. In the Shabbos itself, Ma'alei Shabbata, Friday night is called the female portion of the Shabbos, the Nukvah, and Shabbos day is called the male. In Tefillin also we have the tefillin shel reish, the head portion of the tefillin is the male. The tefillin shel yad is called v'hoyel yisal yod cho. Yod cho should be spelled yud dalet chof. The Torah is spelled yud dalet chof hey. The hey always denotes the keva. Adding the letter hey denotes the keva. Above in heaven, the Shekhinah is called the letter K. Yud K vav K. Letter K is the Shekhinah. The Yod Cho with the hay at the end shows that the hand part of the tefillin is the nekeva, the female portion. And this, both of these have the same four parshas. There are four parshas, paragraphs of the Torah that are contained in the tefillin. The head tefillin are on a higher level, therefore the four parshas are in four separate chambers. The tefillin shel yad, lower level, but still tefillin and kedusha, the same four parshas together, one cloth on one piece of parchment in one chamber of the yad. So these first four zakenim were the referred to the mitzvah of tefillin, the female portion. That's why they spoke about recalling the birth pertaining to the mother, the female, from the time. The earliest one, time that the seed was brought to be planted, which means to the nekeva, and then the subsequent formation of the tinaik, the vlad, the child, and then the candle burning, which means during the period of the nine-month period, until ultimately the emerging of the child, those four deal with the tefillin shel-yad. Now the fifth zaken, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth, deal with the duchra, the zachar part. And therefore, the fifth one who went still further back spoke up. He was younger and said, of course, again, we note that younger means a greater tzaddik. He said, I recall even the chachamim, the wise ones, who planned and drew this seed, who brought this seed into being, the seed that was planted, which became the fruit. Why the chachamim? Because, as the Gemara says, this tipa zera, originates from the brain. The brain of the father produces this seed, it's the continuation of the brain to the spinal column, and therefore we call this the chachamim who produced this seed for the planting, for the formation of the child, which dates further back than any of the first four. The sixth one spoke up and said, I recall back before, I recall before there was anything like taste. The fruit has a taste. Now, that taste is given into the fruit after the fruit is brought into being, after it materializes. But where does that taste come from? The taste itself, it's intangible. That taste exists somewhere as it's brought and injected into the fruit. I recall this taste before it even entered into the fruit. The seventh one said, I recall smell, the aroma of the fruit before it too was injected in the fruit. The eighth one said, I recall the looks, the appearance of the fruit before this appearance was drawn upon the fruit. These three items, taste, smell, and appearance, looks, refer to the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama, the three parts of the soul, one higher than the other. The nefesh is the lowest part of the soul, the tam, the ruach, middle part, corresponds to the deach, the smell, and the mare, the appearance, is the neshama. These three, of course, were created before the child. There is a production in heaven which produces the spiritual. For every child that is born, there is first produced the soul, three parts of the soul in heaven, and these are injected into a child as the child is born. Eventually, when a person dies, it's by the simple expedient of withdrawing this soul from the person, and the body becomes lifeless again. These last four refer to the male part. This all comes from the duchra, the zachar, and goes further back than the first four. Now, this is a story that the blind betler was saying. We were sitting there, and these eight zakenim told about how far back they could recall. Nusazel says, let's analyze this. To be able to tell a story like this takes supernatural powers. How does a person know about things like this? In other words, the relator of this story, the blind betler, or better still, who is the real relator of the story? Rabbeinu Zal himself. To be able to tell the story, that means that he himself had reached this madrega. And more, because we have not heard yet the betler's part of the story, in reference to the ratio to these eight zakenim. But to be able to tell this, that means that he has reached a point that is so high in Kedusha, let us analyze the height. Let's see how great this takes. Let's go back in history. Could we find anywhere in history any person who was able to recall this far back? Now, people with unusual memories, they could recall the time they were 1 year old or 6 months old, if such people exist, or less than that. The Gemara says that there were three great rabbis of the Gemara, Shmuel, one, who told that he recalled the nurse who took part in his birth. He recalled seeing the nurse as she removed him when his mother gave birth. That's the thing about Yerushalmi. Shmuel was the leading rabbi of Bavel. He recalled this case so far back that his memory go. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi told that he recalled very clearly at his own bris, he recalled the male, as the male performed the bris, which of course is 8 days later, but there's still some memory. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan recalled the women nurses standing around the bed too at the time that his mother gave birth, the time that he was born. And these are so unusual that the Gemara Yerushalmi speaks about the unusual powers of memory of these three rabbis of the Gemara. It goes back to 1500 years ago. And the rabbis of the Gemara were so great that they had heavenly powers, supernatural powers. They could visit heaven, they could be Mechaya Mason. And yet this is all the Gemara tells. They were able to recall up to what the first of these Zakenim told. None of them went further back than the first Zakenim, who recall when they cut the apple from the branch, which means the time of his birth. Benazal speaks about the other seven who went much further back than even these rabbis of the Gemara. And then we come now to the blind Bettler himself, who was telling the story, and he said, I was there at the time. I was a very young child. And I said to them, I spoke up and said to them, all these stories that you tell, I recall also. But I recall more. I recall nothing. I recall when there was nothing. And that's an awesome statement. Because what is meant by that, of course, this is a very delicate term to explain. This goes into the depth or the heights of the terms used in the Zohar Kodesh and Kabbalah. Speaking about the Sfidos, we speak about the height of the Sfidos, one above the other, until we come to the Keser. Keser itself, where Keser is the first emanation from Kaviyachol Ein Sof, Mashem. But above that there is, these are all dark. Everything is dark. All these spheres are called light, Eidus. They're all dark compared to the source, to the origin. And this part, this nothing so-called, which means the beginning is Ayin, Ayin, which is nothing, but Ayin really is the Keser. Remember that the Keser is clearly the three Sfidos, the upper Sfidos. The Aleph is the Keser, the Yud is the Chachma, the first letter of Hashem's name, and the Nun is Nun Shari Bina. Keser Chachma Bina makes it the word Ayin. This Ayin is the Keser, the crown from which all comes, from which everything comes out. The birth of everything spiritual comes from the Keser. Ultimately, so even the Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama come from the Keser. Therefore, he said, I recall all this, and I recall nothing, which means the Ayin, the Kedusha of the Mokka. Everyone all testified very warmly and said, this is certainly the oldest of all the stories we've heard, which means that it is a very great Chiddush, unusual, that this child, the youngest of all, knows, remembers more than all the others. And then suddenly, the Bettler continued, suddenly a great eagle knocked at the door of this tower, and he entered and said, this is the great eagle he referred to, in the beginning when he said he has a testimony of the great eagle about the story, about his powers. The great eagle said to all these tzaddikim, stop being poor, return to your treasures, which means go back to your ships. But the ships were destroyed. What is meant here is this great eagle was the Malach who was appointed over the Neshamas. There is a malach. The Gemara says malach is appointed over the shamis. It is he who keeps track of them, watches over them, guards them, until the specified time when the neshamis may return. At Trias HaMesim, they come back to life, they return to their bodies. So the story of these people in boats, the boats were smashed, the storm that smashed the boats, the storm refers to the angel of death. The boat refers to the body. The angel of death destroyed, killed the person, but of course the Shemus rose up and went to this tower, this fortress, speaking about the Gan Eden, temporarily, until the time of Tchias HaMesim. In this story we see here we have a hint at the entire story of the life of a tzaddik from birth up to the time of death, beyond that, and ultimately Tchias HaMesim. Now this great eagle, who was this great eagle, this malach? This malach, Abnosanel says, we see from the Zayde Kodesh, this refers to the malach we just dealt with in last week's parsha. Malach Memtes, who in the Chumash is called Chanech, V'yishalech Chanech Esolikim, Chanech lived to the age of 365, the Tzaddik says, which means this malach covers all the 10 sfidos, the shin, 3 upper sfidos are hundreds, the 6 lower ones are tens, the last sfida of the malchus, the letter He, is 1, is single. The 365 refers to the 10 sfidos. He lived 365 years, and he was gone. Hashem took him up. Malach Chanoch became this Chanoch on earth, and then became the Malach Memtes, who is the Yeshiva, the head of the Yeshiva Shomala, the heavenly Yeshiva, the Yeshiva of all the Malachim and Tzaddikim in heaven. And therefore, he is the master of all these Neshamis in heaven. So this Malach now told them. He now spoke about the stories they were telling. And he said to them, each one of you shall now leave this tower according to your age. The one that is oldest shall leave first. And the first one, the oldest means in wisdom, therefore the first one shall be this child, the blind Betla, because he is really older than all of you. We consider age according to wisdom. Then he said, I will now explain the stories that each one told. Each one spoke about how far back he could recall, and as we explained, he interpreted these words, the cutting of the apple from the branch leaves at the time of birth itself, and the second one, the candle burning, that's the ner, daylight, the candle burning. Zayde Kodesh says, what is this candle? What is this light? It's the spiritual light of the Neder's Nudreish's Nefesh Ruach for some, or the Shomer Ruach for those who have already improved themselves or bettered themselves in the past Gilgulim. This Neder, soul within, is what brightens up this period when there is a connection, a tie between the soul and the body during the time of pregnancy. And with the spiritual power, a child can see the entire area around him, the entire world, and can understand the entire Torah. This is what this second Zohar remembered. The third one, speaking about the formation of the apple, the fruit, means the beginning of the formation of the body. That's the time of conception. The fourth, when they were bringing the seed, you recall when the Zeta was first brought, first arrived. The fifth recalled the Zeta from the Moach, when the Zeta was still in the brain of the father. The sixth, seventh, and eighth recall the Nefesh, Ruach, and the Shaman. This Tinek, he said, this child, who is the greatest of all, he recalled something which is beyond and above the concept of time. You speak about time, we say, talk and recalling further back and further back. That's still tachas hazman, still dictated by time. But to go into bechinas ayin, the nothing, the ayin of keser, that's above the conception of time, it is not dictated to by time, it's not restricted. He said, now you may all return to your bodies, this is Trias HaMesim, and you, he said to the blind Bethlehem, you come with me because you are just like me, myself. I too am old and very young. It is about the Malachim test, the Pasuk says, Nad Hoyisi Begam Zakanti. I am Nar, I am a youth, yet I am very old. I am the oldest, he is called the Sar Ha'ilam, first the chief angel of the world, but yet he is called Nar, Chanech Lanar Alpidakre, because of the fact that a real tzaddik is one who is always, every moment he is reborn. We said about Mashiach, Ani Hayim Yiliditicha, Ani Hayim Yiliditicha, that the moment that he comes to, that he appears, it will be as though he was just born, when actually he's been here for centuries. So this blind Betler said, as a result of this story, you can see that I have the confirmation of the great eagle that I live a very, very long life. Chayim Aruchim. Now, he said to this Chassan and Kala, these two children, I hereby give you this long life of mine as a wedding gift. Before, when I met you in the forest, I gave you a bracha. You should be like me. Now I actually give you this as a gift. It was a very great simcha, tremendous simcha. Everyone was very happy about this incident, and the blind Betler disappeared. Of course, this again refers to everyone. A person becomes an Odom HaSholim at his chasen. At that time, there is a special gift given to a chasen kala from heaven. The gift is a complete kapara for their sins. There can be no greater gift than that, complete whitewash. Chasen and kala start life anew. New, fresh life without any dark stains from the past. It is this gift that's given to them from heaven, and it's at that moment they can rise to the greatest height. And that is why it was at that moment that the Tzaddik Emes, Betler, came and said, now that you are married, I can actually give you this gift. Before I gave you a bracha, you should be zechut to it. Now that you're fit to receive it, I give you this as a gift, which means that I accept you to be attached to me, part of me, and therefore my long life will be fused into you. You'll receive part of that. All this occurred on the first day. As you know, at a wedding there is Sheva Brachos, 7 days of feasting. The first day of the feast, Sheva Brachos, they yearned for the first Betler. He came, and there was a very big simcha. Now on the second day of the 7 days feast, the Chasen Kala began to recall the memory how the second Betler, the deaf Betler, appeared, and how he too had given them bread when they were starving, he'd given them new life. So again they started to cry and to yearn and to hope for, to long for the possibility of seeing this deaf Betler. How can we get the Betler here? In the midst of their crying, suddenly he appeared. And he said, I am here. And they fell upon him, they kissed him, and he said to them, rejoice, because now I am going to give you a gift that you should be like me. Like me meaning that I have a special power, that I live a very good life. I live the best kind of life possible. First, I gave you the bracha, you should be zecha to this, Now I give you this Chaim Tovim of mine, this good life, as a complete gift. First, you think that I am deaf. It appeared to you that I am a deaf betler. The fact is that I am not deaf at all. It is just that everything that goes on in this world is not worth listening to. There's nothing in this world that is worth listening to, because everything you hear in this world is only griping, grumbling, groaning, complaining about what a person is missing, what a person is lacking, what a person needs. Every sound you hear coming from people is about things that they want. Each person cries about something he's lacking. Even when it does come to a very happy occasion, then it's only because they are happy over the fact that the chisorin, that which they lacked, they now have completed, they have fulfilled. They have found that which they were missing. But after this is over, they go back to their crying, complaining about other chesedness. So therefore, to me, this whole world is not worth anything. It is not worth it to have my ears absorb the crying about things that they are missing. And why? Because I live a life that is so good, so pure, and so perfect, that there is no chisodan in this life at all. My life is perfect without anything missing at all. Now, as to this statement, I have the confirmation about this, that I live such a perfectly good life, from a country, the country of great wealth. This country, the people in that country will testify to the fact that I live a perfect life of Chaim Tovim. And this Chaim Tovim of mine, he said, is that I eat bread and drink water. That's a perfectly happy life, a perfect life. Now, why would that be a perfect life? Because we find that in the Torah, when Hashem says to the Jews, that if you will obey my mitzvahs, if you will conduct yourselves properly and perfectly, loyally, devotedly, if you'll fulfill all the mitzvahs that I give you with perfect faith, in turn, I will bless you. I'll give you the blessing of Hashem. And what is that blessing? I'll bless your bread and your water. I'll give you bread and water. Which means that it is not the kind of food that a person eats. A person can have the juiciest steaks and not enjoy it. Either because he has ulcers, chas v'shalom, he's sick, or because his taste is spoiled, or because he is not satisfied for some reason. He can never be satiated, or because he overeats, and then he suffers from it. A person who is given the bracha of true taste of real goodness and purity, can find the greatest enjoyment in bread, and the greatest enjoyment in water, more than another person could find in sweet drinks, or in alcoholic beverages, or anything else that the person may eat or drink. Proof of this is very simple. You find that a person, you take a non-religious Jew, or lahavdil, a goy, who goes to a banquet that is held in the most expensive hotel, by the best caterer, or the most expensive restaurant, and there a fortune is spent on the food. Greatest culinary delicacies, fit for a royal family. They enjoy this meal to an extent. They walk out filled, satisfied. But could this ever compare to a poor person who has never seen the inside of a fancy hotel or a good caterer? This poor man sits down at his royal table on a Friday night at a Shabbos meal, where the challah, freshly baked challah, the sake of the mitzvah of Shabbos, is the first thing he makes a mitzvah on. The taste of that challah as he eats it Friday night is far better. It contains a spice called Shabbos that surpasses anything that is man-made on this earth. This is Ubeid Achas Lachmacha, Hashem gives us the bracha of Shabbos, puts the spice into the bread of Shabbos. Shabbos is in the category of Gan Eden. If a person lives purely, that person can have Gan Eden all week. He can have this spice, this heavenly spice of Gan Eden, during the entire week. So therefore, the bread that he eats throughout his life, the water that he drinks, will be that heavenly water, that heavenly bread, that has the taste of Gan Eden in it. This is the kind of life, this was the symbol of the kind of life that this Bettler, this deaf Bettler, enjoyed. This, he said, I have a story behind this, a testimony by the land of great wealth. This story will take up next Shir Mitzvah Shem.